Please turn to your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We'll read actually the first 10 verses, but our main focus will be verse 1. And the Word of God says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh." You should highlight that. Because verse 8 just told us the people who are in the flesh cannot please God. But the Apostle Paul is telling us who believe the gospel, we're not in the flesh. So that the result should be, well, we please God. Those who are in the flesh do not please God. We are not in the flesh. Therefore, we do please God. That's amazing right there. Verse 9, it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Thus says the Word of God. Let us pray for today's message. Heavenly Father, we come to your holy throne, Father, as the body of Christ, seeking your face in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to hear from you, Father. We want you to take away any distraction from us. We want to be able to hear and to understand your truth that you have given us, that you have kept faithfully all these years, Father. It has been tested, it has been tried, and it's always come out to be true. We could rejoice in this. We could rejoice that what we just read came from you. But we could rejoice in what we just read has huge promises to us who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, let us be tentative to let us hear today's message. Help us, Father, to come to understand the Lord Jesus Christ in a lot better way than we have before, of what He has done for us, and help us to rejoice in that. Help us to remember that there is for now no condemnation to them who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today to praise you and to give you all the glory. So help us to hear from you, Father. We ask you this in Jesus' name. So like I said, today we're going to be concentrating, even though I just read the first 10 verses, we're actually going to be concentrating in the first verse. The first verse, actually, Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's actually, believe it or not, my favorite verse. I have never got to preach a message on this verse, but this verse, it is amazing to me. It is by far, to my soul, my favorite verse. Why is so? Well, because of the fact that it says, Now, no condemnation. So, as we're about to hear and we're about to see, this word condemnation is actually a judicial word. It's a word used in the courtroom. So today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be in a courtroom. We will find ourselves in the courtroom where God is the judge. So, if you want to leave now, right now is the time. I'm just saying. So, let me repeat again the verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So right away, you should notice that them who are in Christ Jesus do not walk after the flesh. You should take notice of that. Them who are in Christ Jesus, I repeat again, do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. In the army, we often use acronyms, believe it or not. We're so full of acronyms that I'm sure there is an acronym for acronym. One of the acronyms that we often use in the army is BLUFF. What does BLUFF stands for, you may ask? BLUFF is bottom line up front. This is to say, you put the main point of your message right in the front, not at the end. That's what I will do right now. Let's break the verse down a little bit. Romans 8:1. We're not going to leave, so just listen and look at the verse. Please notice the therefore. There is therefore. Now, this therefore is connected to the past seven chapters. The Apostle Paul has systematically laid down biblical truth that are connected to this therefore. The cry from the Apostle Paul is connected to this therefore. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Paul knew that he could not be delivered. He could not deliver himself from this body of death, and that he was desperate for deliverance. Paul asked the right question, though, when he said, who shall deliver me? See, deliverance from the body of death is found in a person. And that person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the time in which the results of that was said, the last seven chapters applies to. There is therefore now, not yesterday, now, not tomorrow. So if you find yourself in the now, this applies. This should bring comfort to your soul as you think about your own walk with God. As you think about the condition in which you find yourself now, as you think about everything that went on this week, but you are here in the now, see, as you think about all things going on around you now, then this applies if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's take notice also of the no. However, before we apply the no, let's define the word to which the no is being applied to. The word condemnation is the Greek word katakrima, which means demandatory sentence, to pronounce to be guilty, to sentence to punishment, or to pass judgment against. Like I said, the word is used in a judicial type scenario. I want you to capture that picture because it's true. We are in the courtroom, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said, God is the judge. And this courtroom is God judging someone. And as a judge, who do judges deal with? Well, they deal with criminals. You have to understand that. You have to understand that the relationship that we're in, it's in a criminal to a judge type scenario. We're not in the father and son scenario that Pastor Rick was preaching to us last week. We have to distinguish that. See, when it talks about punishment, I have yet ever, and I hope I would never do, punish my children. And the reason why I say that is because the relationship with my children are, they're my children. They're not criminals. I do correct them. Just ask them. I do correct them. Because as a father, I love them enough to correct them. As a new parents, you guys will get to find out, you love your children, you will correct your children. But notice the no, right? The condemnation, the Greek word, like I say, is katakrima, which is to pronounce to be guilty. We at one point were just like other men under the condemnation of the law. He says, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass brought condemnation. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. We're about to see, I am seeking and striving to keep my messages really short and sweet. And just like last, 2 weeks ago, I only taught in 3 points. We're going to do the same this week. 3 points. One of the points will be, just like any other man, before we came to saving faith of Christ, we were condemned. The Bible is very clear about it. It says, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. By the way, that includes women. Because here the Greek word man is actually, it's mankind. All mankind are under condemnation outside of Christ. So, condemnation was our sentence. Condemnation was the verdict. But God, being rich in mercy, we're no longer under condemnation. Right? Because that's what the verse is. That is what this precious verse is teaching us. There is therefore now no condemnation. Going back to the no is telling us that there is absolutely chance of us being condemned. Zero, zip, silch, nada. No condemnation. You ought to be rejoicing right now. I just see a bunch of deers in the headlights. You ought to rejoice. There is no condemnation whatsoever. Whatsoever. That right there just blows my mind. Like I said, this is why I love this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them. This proclamation of no condemnation is applied to a specific group of people. It's to them. Who are the them, you may ask? Well, the them is connected to the words that follow. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The question is, do you find yourself in Christ? Today, in the now, do you find yourself in Christ? Or are you outside of Christ under condemnation? During family worship, I'm never ashamed of telling my children, if they don't believe the gospel, they find themselves under the wrath of God. I look them straight into the eye with love, knowing that only God can save them. But to save my children, I have to share them the truth. I really do. So, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Those who are no longer condemned are those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the plain teaching of the Bible. The result of being in Christ is believing in Christ. You can't say you are in Christ if you don't believe in Christ. That's just plain truth of the Bible. You cannot say you are in Christ if you do not believe in Christ. John chapter 3 verse 18, just listen to it. He that believeth on him is not condemned. In fact, go to it. Go to John chapter 3 verse 18. I want you to rejoice with me. I come here with a message of joy. I really do. In my studies, as I sought after to get this message together, I just became rapidly aware of the joy that this verse brings to someone's soul. Because I recall my past. Even though I'm not what I'm going to be one day,
I'm not what I was. Just ask my wife.
John chapter 3, verse 18, my friend. He that believeth on him, the him is who? Jesus. Is not condemned. Again, the question is, do you find yourself in Christ? Do you believe in Christ? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I'm testifying to the truth to my children when I tell them, if they don't believe in Christ, the wrath of God is upon them. Because he that believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you don't believe in Christ, you already are condemned, as we're about to find out. Since you are already in chapter 3 of John, go to verse 36. Perhaps one of your favorite verses. Verse 36 says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm not lying to my children. The wrath of God abideth on them if they don't believe in Christ. While I was yet outside of Christ, while I was yet an unbeliever, I was under the wrath of God. That's exactly where we find ourselves if we do not believe in Christ. If we find ourselves outside of Christ, just think about it. And this is not in my intro, but just think about it. The people who were in the ark were the only people that were saved. The people who were in the ark were the only people who were saved. Everyone outside of that ark came under condemnation, wouldn't you say? I would say so. I would say they got judged. I would say condemnation came upon them. The people who are outside of Christ will come under condemnation. In fact, they already are condemned. But one day it will be revealed. That should bring about a seal to share the gospel with others. If we cannot evangelize the world, let us at least share the truth with our loved ones. Right, brother? Wouldn't you say? If we cannot win the world for Jesus, at the very least, we ought to share the truth with our children. If we're parents, we're our loved ones. We're our grandchildren, if you have some. I look forward to having grandchildren. I look forward to having grandchildren. And I will tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I really will. So, since you are already in chapter in John, let us go to chapter 5. And I'm almost done with my introduction. We will get busy with the John chapter 5, verse 24. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. So, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, verily, verily, he says it twice. That means for us to pay close attention to exactly what he's saying. Like really, when he says, verily, verily, you highlight that, magnify that, learn that. He's telling us something big. Well, everything that he said was big, by the way. He's the Son of God. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him. See, hearing the word and believeth on him is the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get to say, I hear the word, but don't believe the word. You hear the word, you believe at the word. There's no separation. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And look at this beautiful and amazing promise. If you believe on him, you have everlasting life. And look at this. And shall not come into condemnation. Therefore,
There's therefore now no condemnation. Isn't that what our verse is telling us? And shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a beautiful and amazing thing the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching there. So that then, go back to Romans 8:1, so that then are the same people found in a verse later in the chapter actually. Go to Romans 8, verse 28. And we're just going to really read it real quick. I won't do too much commentary on it. Verse 28, Romans 8, verse 28. And we know, in an age where truth is hated on, the Christian ought to know that they know. We know truth. And we could say, no, truth is not relative. The Word of God is telling me that I know certain things that haven't changed, will not change, and cannot change because God is not a liar. The Christian could stand upon the Bible and say, no, this is truth applicable in the year 2020, in the year 2022, in the year 2050, in the year 2060. This truth remains the same and is applicable, and I know. Do you know? Because the Apostle Paul is telling us we know certain things. And one of the things that we know is this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Here's the then. See? To them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then, see the people that were predestinate, then He also called. God has called us out. And whom He called, then He also justified. God, but all by Himself, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, has indeed justified us. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. And the translator did a wonderful job translating the word glorified, by the way, if you notice. I don't know too much English, but that word right there in your Bible is in the past tense. Even though we haven't been glorified yet, we haven't. We're still here on earth. Right? We haven't. It's a done deal with God. So God could speak like if it's just complete. Because it's going to happen. The people whom He called out, the people whom He predestined, the people who He justified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will in fact, all of them, not one of them will be lost, but all of them will be glorified. It's a done deal. You could rest on that. Can we?
Praise God.
Praise God indeed. So the last portion of our text, who walked not after the flesh, Romans 8:1. Let me read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the last point of our text today, and I'm not finishing with my sermon, this is just the introduction, by the way. This is the bluff. This is the bottom line up front. This is what I'm trying. This is the message right in the front before we slow it down a little bit, and I'm going to get my 3 points. I promise you, it's going to be quick and fast. The last portion of our text today, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, it's a result or manifestation of not being condemned. Meaning, if there is now, no condemnation for you and I. The evidence of this is that we're not going to be walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's just true. We're going to be living a Spirit-led life. Why would this be? Well, the next verse tells us why. Romans 8:2 says this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Christ, ladies and gentlemen, came here to set us free. So that, though, he did it with a purpose. So that we could walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh anymore. We cannot say, we cannot own Christ as our Redeemer and yet be walking in the flesh. That's what we're about to see. God has called us to walk in the Spirit. This style of walk after the Spirit is found in Christ Jesus. And it's a result of us who believe the gospel being free from the law of sin and death. Now that the bluff is completed, we will go over the three main points of the sermon that I have today. Here are the three main points for anyone that's writing it down. Point number one, the crime. Point number two, the conclusion or verdict. And point number three, the counterclaim. Remember, this is a courtroom scenario we find ourselves in. But before I do that, 2 weeks ago I talked about three main things. One of the things that I talked about was the substance of the Word of God. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, we find that the book of Romans, the epistle of Romans, the letter of Romans was written by none other than the Apostle Paul. Romans 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul was called to be an apostle and to be separated unto the gospel of God. Paul wrote this letter. However, just like I talked about 2 weeks ago about being the substance of God, it was the letter that we have, what I just read, what we're going to exegete, or I'm going to try to exegete for us, is not a mere letter written by a mere man. It is actually God's word. It is God's word when it was first penned. It is God's word now. Now, the reason why I bring this to your attention is to continue with one of the main points, like I said in my last sermon. The Apostle Paul, like 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, says, he wrote the letter, but this is how he wrote the letter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, For the prophecy came not in all time by the will of men, but holy men, see, Paul was a holy man, of God, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is God's breath. It was breathed out by God. Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to write Romans. It is God's word that we find in Romans and not merely a man's letter. Keep that in mind as we try to exegete the text and make application to our lives. We want to hear from God today and we want to honor His word today. We want God to remind us today that we still have His word in the year 2022. And this word possesses the same authority over us that it did when it was first penned. Now, let's begin with point one, the crime. Again, we are in a courtroom scenario. There was a crime committed. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And I will try to limit my commentary. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Because you have to think, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation. So you got to ask the question, how did we get ourselves here? How did we get ourselves to the no condemnation? Because obviously before this, we were condemned. Like I said, that word condemnation is used in a judicial type manner. And we were guilty. We were guilty of something. Verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. And we're going to stay ourselves in... I'm going to limit the verses that I have chosen. We're going to limit it to the book of Romans. Because I want us to understand the beautiful way in which Paul argues and the way he brings about that conclusion. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because from verse 1 in Romans 8:1 all the way to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, they're all connected. And they're all connected to bring us forth into this conclusion that there's now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, chapter 1. For the invisible things of hand from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. You guys notice the crime? When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. If you go back all the way to Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve knew God. Did they glorify him as God? They did not. They disobeyed. And because of the disobedience of Adam, the human race plummeted down and went into a deep hole of sin. That was the crime. We sinned against God. It says, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If I were to put a parenthesis there on my own writing, professing themselves, I will put politicians, I will put anybody and everybody who hate God. Professing themselves to be wise, ladies and gentlemen. They profess themselves to be wise. They get these degrees in philosophy. They get these degrees from the greatest and best universities in the world. And yet, according to the Word of God, they are fools. They're fools if they do not know God in Christ. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's how you know they're fools. They create things so that they could bow down themselves to them. Things they create out of clay. They bow themselves to them. What a fools. That's just true. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor them own bodies between themselves. That's where we're at right now in the year 2022. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Wouldn't you say that that's exactly what these wise men, these foolish people have done? When they seek to worship the earth, Mother Earth, or whatever crazy name they want to give it to it. They seek to worship the creation rather than Creator. That's exactly what people outside of Christ do. They seek to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Verse 26. For these cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. LGBT, whatever Q and all the other letters I want to add to it. That's an abomination. It truly is. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, disobedient to parents, children. That's a sin. The only time you ought to disobey your parents, it's when they're telling you to do something against the word of God. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, I'm old school, so covenant breakers just don't do it for me. It's adultery. That's what he's trying to say. Adultery. Without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Don't we see people's heart being cold? They don't show mercy or kindness to each other. The world is a very cruel world, wouldn't you say? Unmerciful, brother. The world needs mercy. We ought to, as Christians, as we believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be the ones showing them mercy. Because they ain't going to give it to each other, I tell you that. Verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Our crime merits a judgment. Death. And not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So I won't go too much, but in your own time, if you want to read Romans chapter 5, verse 12 through 19, it truly declares to us the crime. We have sinned. As a human race, we sin in Adam, but we can't just be like Adam and say, that woman that thou gave it me. We can't be like, well, Adam sinned, trying to blame him. We also have sinned. I know I have sinned. So what is the judgment? The conclusion, what is the verdict? We committed a crime, now the judge is about to give the verdict, the conclusion. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Go there with me. Now this is Apostle Paul speaking, like I say. The Holy Spirit move him to write this. This is the word of God. And this is exactly what he says. He says, Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. I think I got about more than a decade of, more than 10 years of proclaiming Christ as my Savior, as I seek to be a Christian. I often have to remind myself, believe it or not, that I'm not better than them. Mm-hmm. We often got to do that. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles, put a parenthesis there. That's us, by the way. If you don't, we're like, I'm not a Jew and I'm not a Gentile, so therefore I guess I'm good. You're a Gentile. According to the word of God, it's just one or the other. We find ourselves, we're Gentiles. So we're not better than them. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us. Look at what he says. That they are all under sin. It's written, there's none righteous, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. None of us outside of Christ, or by the grace or mercy of God, we were not seeking God. This is why some of us, like me, I found myself in religion, seeking after religion, as after an experience. As you could tell, I'm a little charismatic and loud. I'm very, I get this a little bit from my Pentecostal background. But nevertheless, it's you seek religion outside of Christ. And it's not like you're seeking God. You start seeking God after God already sought you. That's how it works. It says, there's none that seeketh after God. Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. A lot of people, and as we see it, do not fear God. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say that it's true in the year 2022? Wouldn't you say that the evidence of them not fearing God is the actions that they take? There is no fear of God. Romans 3, verse 23, just hear it. Go back to Romans 8, by the way. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That is the conclusion. That is the verdict. There's no righteous. No, not one. There's no one that dies good and sinneth not. We all come short. So just like the Apostle Paul, we find ourselves in despair. If we think about it. We have committed a crime, and it is against God who we committed the crime, by the way. And the judgment is that we find ourselves under the wrath of God. The judgment is that there is none good, not one. Is that where the Bible leaves us? Is that where we ought to be? I got great news. The Bible doesn't leave us there. The Bible has a counterclaim. See, but you ought to remember, though, this is the one crucial thing I want to make sure. That the conclusion, the verdict that God gave cannot be changed with time or circumstances. We are all under the wrath of God. We all come short of His glory. Now, is there any hope for any of us? Can man be saved from this certain doom? The answer is found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to save the damned. Jesus Christ at the cross indeed paid for the sins of everyone who believed in Him and rose again from the dead to justify them. That is the clear teaching of the Bible and our only hope. See, the verdict that God has given, it is done. Cannot be altered. Meaning this, God will indeed punish people for their sins. God indeed punish the believer's sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either your sin will be dealt in you, or your sins have already been dealt in Christ. One of the most silly things I was taught in the Pentecostal movement, because they're very emotional that like to play with people's emotion. They say, God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. Well, if he did that, the question is, why is he punishing the sinner and not the sin in hell? Because there's people in hell right now. At the very least, there's one. At the very least, there's one. We could all agree that Judas Iscariot is in hell right now. Can we? So there's at least one person whose sin is being punished on him. Sin must be dealt, and it will be dealt on the sinner or on the substitute that God provided. Amen. There is no other. This verdict is done. It's going to happen. It did happen, in fact, for some of us. If we believe the gospel, our sins have been dealt with at the cross. Go to Romans 8:1. Read it again. You guys are not rejoicing like I expect you guys to rejoice. Because I'm over here like I'm trying to hold my, you know, I'm trying to just hold myself in place. Because I remember I'm a Pentecostal type person. So I'd be like, woo, I'd be rejoicing right now. There you go. So I'm got, hey, I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get into my Baptist heritage. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You find yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, I got new good news for you. You're not condemned. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, you're not condemned. In fact, you will never be condemned because the condemnation that ought to come on you already came on him. I brought this hymn right now because I was just amazed as we were singing this beautiful hymn. Let me just read this. It's not even in my sermon, but I'm going to give it to you guys for free. What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the lover of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? For my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. Outside of Christ, you're cursed. Amen. The law says so. God says so. You are cursed. You are under the wrath of God, and the wrath of God is coming upon you. I cannot even tell, like, we're about to, if by the grace of God, we're about to celebrate 8 years of life for Brianna next week. I cannot assure her that we'll make it. I cannot. If you find yourself right now, Brianna, outside of Christ, you are under the wrath of God. If you find yourself under in Christ right now, Brianna, you're not condemned. I could tell you that. I could tell her that. So what was the carnal claim, you say? God already delivered the judgment, right? We are all under sin. We are all... Oh, for the wages of sin is what? Death. It's a sure thing, ladies and gentlemen. Death is coming upon us. And I'm not saying this bodily death. Because some of us are not escaping. Even though we believe the gospel, we're not going to escape the death that's going to happen to this body. We're just not. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return, some of us will die. But we get to escape the ultimate death. The second death, the Bible calls it. People will suffer the second death. But you, if you believe the gospel, you're never ever going to see that. So how did that happen? Stay with me. This is a counterclaim. I'm almost done. Romans 8, chapter 3, Romans 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. This is the gospel right here. The gospel never starts with you and never ends with you. It starts with God. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, listen to this, condemn sin in the flesh. There is. This is the truth that we could tell our Pentecostal lost brethren. God will indeed punish sin in the person, not He loves the sinner, but not the sin. He hates the sinner, and He hates the sin that the sinner does. Outside of Christ, there is no love of God to be found. There is none. There is zero love. You can read it in the same chapter. I will urge you to read the entire chapter. It's an amazing thing. I will be here for years trying to exegete that. But Paul talks about the love of God in Christ. And Paul tells us that there's nothing in this world, nothing that will come, nothing that will happen, nothing and nada, 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 nothing could separate us from the love of God. So God sent His Son, right? And He condemned sin in Him. That's the counterclaim that you and I have. The counterclaim that you and I have is not based on our feelings. Because sometimes you may feel condemned. But why is that? Well, we do have an enemy called the devil. He might be condemning you, and you might be listening to him. We do have a conscience, right? And our conscience may be condemning us, and we might be listening to it. But God, being rich in mercy, is telling us we're not condemned. We will never be condemned if we believe the gospel. Same chapter, verse 32, verse 34. You guys remember the beautiful picture that we have in Abraham and Isaac as they walk towards the mountain and God tested? Doesn't He test us? He sure does. God tested Abraham and say, sacrifice your beloved son. And as Abraham was walking with Isaac, it's an amazing thing to see Isaac, how obedient he was. Children, how obedient Isaac was to his father. Hint, hint. Be obedient to your parents. And you guys remember when Abraham was indeed, see, Abraham was a man of faith, wouldn't you say? Isn't he the father of the faithful? Right? He's a man of faith, right? And he was willing and was surely going to sacrifice Isaac. So right when he's about to, the angel says, stop! Because this was always going to be a picture, ladies and gentlemen. Isaac was never, ever going to be our Redeemer. He wasn't. The Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. So, lately, during our family worship time, I've been having the privilege of, I don't remember the title of the book, but I bought a book in which it's actually helping my children as we go we have one chapter each night. And these chapters are actually meant for them to see Christ, pictures of Christ throughout the entire Bible. Because all these pictures, like the one I'm just talking about Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice that he was about to do, but God told him to stop, it's just a picture of what actually God the Father did. Listen to it. Verse 32. He, that is God the Father, that spared not his own son, Isaac, got to walk. He got to marry. He got to have children. Ladies and gentlemen, our Lord Jesus Christ did not get to walk. He was obedient. He was willingly. He laid down his life. God the Father did not spare his own son. He did not. But deliver him up for us. The us there, highlighted, take it all the way back to Romans 8:1, is the them. To them that are in Christ Jesus. It's the same people. The us. For us all. Christ Jesus was delivered for us. How? So if this, listen to this. God the Father did not spare his own son and punish him. The wrath of God actually did came down on our Savior so that you and I may not even taste of it. So when you get a little bit filled with unbelief, as if God loves you, or if God, if you start wondering whether God loves you or whether God is being good to you, think about this. God did not spare his own son. Listen to this. How shall he not with him also give us all things? The Apostle Paul is doing a beautiful argumentation here. He do from the greater to the lesser. He gave his son. Could he give anything more? No. Would he ever withhold anything good from us? No. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There it is. Courtroom. We did a crime. We find ourselves guilty. But the promises of the gospel is telling us that there is for now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So the question you may wonder sometimes, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Can anyone come to the courtroom and say, hey, I have new evidence. They still are condemned. Can they? Well, even if they did, it is God that justifies us. The judge justified the criminal. He says, you are justified. You are good in my sight. You are if you have withheld all the laws. You are if you never broken any law. But did he do it by just, hey, there's the rock. We're just going to put your sins under the rock. No, he did not. He poured his wrath on the Son. Our sins had a great payment, ladies and gentlemen. How great of a payment our sins needed? That it took the Son of God to pay it all. It is God that justifies us. You find yourself, or you believe the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, justified in the sight of God, not because of anything that you will ever, ever do in this life, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for you, if you believe the gospel. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? There's the word again, condemnation, found guilty. Who is the person that's going to come into this courtroom and say, you're guilty, Romel? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that it is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? We're no longer condemned because Christ died. Wouldn't you say that that's exactly what this verse is teaching us? But not only did he die, he rose again. We're no longer condemned because Christ died. But not only died, he rose again from the dead. He died to pay for our sins. He rose again for our justification. I'm almost done. I promise you. Go back to Romans 8:1. I'm just going to do a quick application because I have to. I have to give you application. The gospel gives us application to our lives. The gospel is not pie in the sky that has nothing to do with our daily life. The gospel actually transforms us of how we live our lives here in this earth. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Beautiful. Amazing. That's a secure thing. There is for now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So quickly, the walk after the Spirit that Romans 8:1 is telling us, it's actually hallmarked by these following things. I just want to give it to you. There's certain things that will hallmark if you ever want to examine yourself, because that's what the scripture tells us to do, right? We ought to examine ourselves. And you want to examine yourself and say, man, I want to know. Wouldn't you say it would be a good thing to know whether you're walking in the flesh or after the Spirit, brother? Wouldn't you say that? It would be a good thing for... You don't want to find yourself not in the way. And if you do examine yourself and you find yourself not in the way, guess what? That gives you a hint, get back in the way, because you were not in the way. So examining yourself is a prudent, good thing to do. Wouldn't you say? So here are the things that ought to follow if you are walking in the Spirit. And I'm just going to give it to you and I'm going to talk about the last things. But this walk in the Spirit is a walk by faith. It is. It's a walk by faith, but not by sight. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking by faith and not by sight. If you're walking in the Spirit, the walk of the Spirit is in opposition to be walking in the flesh. Listen to this. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have called unto liberty." That's what we're called to. "Only use the liberty for an occasion, only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." These are saying then, walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, the Apostle Paul is saying, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these evil and ungodly things. Verse 22 in the same chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to know if you're walking in the Spirit, check your fruits. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So walking in the Spirit is in opposition to walking in the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is a walk of love and separation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, real quick. "Be ye therefore followers of God." That's what we're called to, right? That's what we're here. We're here gathered together because we profess to be followers of God. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We're no longer criminals, ladies and gentlemen. The Father is no longer our judge. If we believe the gospel, the Father is our Father. He got it. Verse 2, and walk in love. Walk in the Spirit is walking in love. As Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be one's name among you. The walk in the Spirit is calling us to separation. That's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here. We ought to be separated from fornication, from uncleanness, from covetousness. Separation, walking in the Spirit. Lastly, go with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. This is where I'm going to wrap my sermon, and I hope you are blessed by it. I know I'm look forward to Pastor Rick being back, so I'm pretty sure you guys are looking forward to that too. So remember, we were in a courtroom scenario. There was a crime committed. The verdict was that we are all under sin and come short of the glory of God. The verdict was that we are under the wrath of God. But the current claim is that Christ died. And yet, reason. That's the only current claim that you have to your conscience, to the devil. Not your feelings, not nothing. You ought to remember that. We ought to remember that. The reason why I'm not condemned is because Christ died. The reason why I'm not condemned is because Christ has risen from the dead. That's the reason. If you look to the mirror for the answer, you're going to be spooked for what you see. Because there is no hope. There's no hope in you. There's hope in the Son of God. Okay, so what did I say? The last verse was? Oh yeah, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So, lastly, this walk in the Spirit is a walk that must be done in the light and not in darkness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, see, we all get to professing something don't mean nothing. You got to walk the walk. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what do? We lie. I don't even know the number because I lost the count, brother, but I'm pretty sure the last number that I found was like 80-something percent of all Americans here in this nation were Christians. Liars. Liars. I could say that they're liars. We wouldn't have such policies that we have. We just wouldn't. We wouldn't have the policies that we have if 80-something, whatever percentage it is, in this nation were Christians. He said, if we say we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness and we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a promise right there. I don't know if you guys missed that. It's a promise that if you're walking in the light, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you from your sin. If we walk in the light, walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, does not mean that you do not sin. But it does mean that you do not live in sin. Walking in spirit, walking in the light means that you are honest. You are honest with people, but above all that, you are honest with God. I am not condemned because of Christ. I am not condemned because of what Christ did for me. Therefore, I ought to walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an amazing thing that you have done, Father. Well, we were found ourselves condemned under your wrath. Lost. So lost that we didn't even know about the verdict. All the human race are condemned outside of Christ. We're so thankful, Father, that we were condemned, and yet you sent your Son to be our carnal claim, to be the solution for this condemnation, so that you could be the justifier of sinful people like us. You could justify us in front of you because you have dealt with our sin in your Son, Father. We thank you that we're no longer condemned because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to remind us of this wonderful and amazing truth. And help us, Father, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It is in the name of your Son we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.